Good morning. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
Prosecutors accused Donald Trump of trying to corrupt the 2016 election during opening arguments of his hush money trial. I'm John Stolness.
Columbia University has canceled in-person classes while the university seeks to cool down tensions. I'm Jackie Quinn.
The U.S. Supreme Court considering arguments surrounding homelessness.
Don't have to have a tent. You don't have to have a camp.
I'm Clayton Neville.
Break-in at the home of the Los Angeles mayor will have details.
On Wall Street, stocks were in the green yesterday. Investors have some high hopes for strong earnings reports from some big-name companies. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
Two deaths. Thousands sickened. A jury says a railroad is to blame.
The Supreme Court will wade into the legal fight over ghost guns. Sagar Magani, Washington.
All ahead on America in the Morning. Prosecutors and lawyers for Donald Trump made opening remarks, and the first witness was called to the stand in the former president's hush money trial in New York. Following the case, here's our John Stolness.
Prosecutors allege Trump paid off two women during the height of the 2016 presidential campaign, porn actress Stormy Daniels and former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal, to keep them quiet about affairs they'd had a few years before with Trump, saying Trump, quote, orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 election. It is a felony to make hush money payments like this to cover up another crime, but Trump's lawyers said the former president was innocent and criticized New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg for bringing this case to trial in the first place. Trump has denied ever having an affair with the two women, and speaking to reporters after the first day wrapped up early for Passover observances, Trump claimed his payments to his former lawyer Michael Cohen were simply legal fees.
Cohen is a lawyer, represented a lot of people over the years. Now, I'm not the only one. And wasn't very good in a lot of ways in terms of his representation, but he represented a lot of people. But he puts in an invoice or whatever, a bill, and they pay and they call it a legal expense. I got indicted for that.
Prosecutors say Cohen will testify that he received money from Trump with the intent to pay the women to keep their affairs quiet and protect Trump's image during the presidential campaign. But he continues to charge the Biden administration of rigging the Justice Department to keep him off the campaign trail.
Because I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. I should be in a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here.
One witness was called to the stand, David Pecker, a tabloid publisher who worked with Trump to be his eyes and ears during the campaign, paying people for stories that could negatively affect his chances of winning the presidency and then keeping them under wraps. Judge Juan Merchan will hear arguments today over his gag order and whether Trump has violated it with Truth Social posts about certain witnesses over the last few days. I'm John Stolness.
With pro-Palestinian rallies spreading across college campuses in the U.S., at New York's Columbia University, they've been forced to switch to online and hybrid learning through the end of the semester due to ongoing disruptions and incidents of threats against Jewish students. As correspondent Jackie Quinn reports, New York Governor Kathy Hochul went to the campus to meet with the school's president.
Students are scared. They're afraid to walk on campus. They don't deserve that. They deserve to be in an environment that is free from discrimination as required by state human rights laws.
On the start of the Passover holiday, tensions are heating up between Jewish students and pro-Palestinian sympathizers on college campuses. Outside Columbia University in Manhattan, officials in New York City and across the country are urging calm.
I've never seen a level of protest that is so person-to-person and is so visceral. And I'm not calling on everyone. People need to find their humanity. Have the conversations. Talk to each other. Understand different points of view, because that's what college students should be doing.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul outside Columbia University, where in-person learning was canceled for the day because of fears Jewish students might be harmed by pro-Palestinian factions.
Because we have terrorist ideology on campus, and we have a president that is negotiating with them. That makes her a supporter of terrorism. And she should be fired, not tomorrow, not tonight, today, this very minute.
If there's a crime in progress, if someone's in danger, as with any private property, we're going to go in. We're going to keep people safe. If someone, for example, is being attacked, we're going to go in to Columbia University as we would to a private home to help protect that person.
And NYPD legal official Michael Gerber says they've been asked to generally stay off the campus except for last week.
They had students who were trespassing. They asked us to come onto campus to take action, and we did. But that was an exceptional case.
The arrests of demonstrators sparked new pro-Palestinian encampments at schools like MIT, the University of Michigan, and the University of North Carolina. I'm Jackie Quinn.
After 2 hours of police and riot gear warning demonstrators who built an encampment on the campus of New York University to disperse, the cops moved in and arrested over 100 people, including students and school faculty. This after four dozen were arrested for disorderly actions at Yale University. When we return on America in the Morning, ticketing the homeless, the Supreme Court to decide, after these messages.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. We'll have snow for some today, 90-degree temperatures for others, and to sort it all out, here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
A storm continuing eastward through the Great Lakes will continue to spread showers and thunderstorms, with a steadier rain developing along a cold front to the south. These showers will start the day in North Dakota and northern Minnesota, with additional showers moving eastward through Michigan. Then this afternoon, more showers will develop along with some thunderstorms in northern Wisconsin and northern Michigan. And a few of the thunderstorms that form could produce some gusty winds and small hail. This will shift southward through the rest of each state into northern Illinois and Indiana this evening. There will also be some colder air building southward, and this will lead to some snow later in the day over parts of the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, and some places could even see a slushy accumulation. The steadier rain farther south will spread from Missouri eastward through central Illinois into Indiana and Ohio. This will move into New York and Pennsylvania tonight, with showers through the Tennessee Valley northward to New England. Meanwhile, a few scattered late-day thunderstorms will develop in parts of North Texas into Oklahoma. These storms will have the potential to produce very strong winds as well as some hail. The rest of the Plain States will be fairly quiet, with a mixture of clouds and sun and afternoon temperatures near historical averages, with highs in the 50s and 60s in the north and 70s and 80s in the south, though it will be 10 to 15 degrees above average in parts of West Texas into New Mexico, where highs will be in the 90s. That's the weather across America. It is going to be a hot day in Roswell, New Mexico, with plenty of sunshine and a high of 95. Fargo, North Dakota will have a shower or two around early, otherwise clouds breaking for some sunshine and a high of 58. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
I'm John Trout. Remember, you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. The U.S. Supreme Court is considering arguments in a case surrounding homelessness. Correspondent Clayton Neville has details.
The case surrounds an ordinance in Grant Pass, Oregon, and comes as the number of homeless Americans is growing across the country. Grant Pass, not the only city to issue citations for sleeping outside, but it is the subject of a lawsuit filed by a group of homeless people. They argue the policy violates the Constitution on the basis of cruel and unusual punishment. Yesterday outside the Supreme Court, protests with chants of "housing is a human right." Congresswoman Ilhan Omar spoke to the crowd.
Across the country, we have seen cities enact anti-camping, vagrancy laws, and other measures that criminalize the unhoused. No one should face citation, arrest, imprisonment, simply because they lack the ability to house themselves.
This is Supreme Court justices heard over 2 hours of arguments.
Statute does not say anything about homelessness. It's a generally applicable law. It's very important that it applies to everyone.
Yeah, I got that. But it's a single person with a blanket. And you don't have to have a tent. You don't have to have a camp.
The court seemingly sticking to party lines as they consider what they heard. Liberal justices focused on sleeping outside and the notion that the policy is a criminal ban on homelessness. Republican justices focused more on why the court should or shouldn't chime in on decisions surrounding local cities. I'm Clayton Neville.
Police in Los Angeles arrested a suspect following a break-in at the home of Mayor Karen Bass. The Los Angeles Police Department released a statement saying that the person who was taken into custody smashed a window to get inside Getty House, and the mayor's home was occupied at the time of the incident. Police identify the suspect in the burglary investigation as 29-year-old Ephraim Matthew Hunter, a resident of Los Angeles, and was being held on $100,000 bail. Authorities said that Hunter was originally from Massachusetts, where he was once convicted of a violent crime. Charges against Hunter expected to be filed within the next 48 hours. When we return on America in the Morning, TikTok in the hot seat on Capitol Hill. After these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments has a team of specialists in investing, financial planning, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. A recap and preview on today's market activity. Here's CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after a rebound for stocks yesterday. The S&P 500 index snapped a six-day losing streak, and the Dow was up more than 200 points. NVIDIA shares up more than 4% yesterday. United Airlines up 5%. Ford was up 6%. Investors poised for some big-name earnings reports coming this week from companies like General Motors, UPS, JetBlue, PepsiCo, Tesla, Visa, and Mattel, and that's just to name a few.
Earnings have been pretty good. Earnings, generally the outlook for the first quarter, very stable. The outlook for the full year, stable, and that's because the economy is doing well.
CNBC's Bob Pisani. Longtime mall clothing retailer Express filed for bankruptcy. The chain plans to close nearly 100 stores. Delta Airlines facing another union attempt to organize flight attendants. So it's giving employees another 5% raise. Tesla shares were down more than 3% yesterday, hitting a 52-week low. It's cutting prices globally after slashing them in the U.S. It's trying to remain competitive with less expensive EVs coming on the market.
We're going to see more rounds of price cuts after this. It's going to be a tough year for Tesla. We've been saying that for a while. It's definitely not getting any better right now.
Roth MKM's Craig Irwin on CNBC. Nike set to cut more than 700 jobs at its Oregon headquarters by the end of June. USA Today says the cuts were revealed in a filing with the state. They were first reported by Reuters.
Jessica, TikTok and China's influence on the U.S. will be on full display as they're in the hot seat today in Washington.
Yeah, a big vote could happen in the Senate today on the future of the Chinese-owned app that sits on the phones of 170 million Americans. Critics say China can simply start pushing video clips questioning democracy very easily. It's a propaganda and influence threat. But there's another big reason why lawmakers want TikTok either banned or sold off by its parent company, ByteDance. China won't let similar U.S. apps on the phones of its citizens, which is to some proof that the Chinese Communist Party sees this kind of control over a population as dangerous.
The Senate is scheduled to vote on Tuesday and is expected to pass the measure. They've already approved a lot of the foreign aid funding. And under the bill, TikTok would be forced to divest from parent company ByteDance in as little as 9 months. TikTok has lobbied against the legislation, of course, spending over $4.5 million in advertisements opposing the bill in recent months, according to data from Ad Impact.
CNBC's Emily Wilkins. On today's watch list, we get earnings from names like General Motors, UPS, UPS, JetBlue, Tesla, and Visa. We also find out how many newly built homes sold in March. The Supreme Court hears a case concerning the termination of union supporters at Starbucks.
Thank you, CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. When we return on America in the Morning, High Court, not hiding debate on ghost guns, that and more after these messages. America in the Morning continues. Montana jury blames a railroad over an asbestos claim that sickened a town and was responsible for two deaths. Correspondent Norman Hall reports.
A federal jury has found that BNSF Railway contributed to the deaths of two people who were exposed to asbestos decades ago when tainted mining material was shipped through the Montana town of Libby, where thousands have been sickened. The jury awarded $4 million each in compensatory damages to the estates of the two plaintiffs who died in 2020. The jury did not find that BNSF acted intentionally or with indifference, so there will be no punitive damages awarded. The pollution in Libby has been cleaned up, but health officials say people previously exposed are likely to continue getting sick for years to come. I'm Norman Hall.
The U.S. Supreme Court will take up the Biden administration's appeal over regulating ghost guns. Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
The justices have agreed to hear the Biden administration's appeal over regulating the hard-to-trace guns, which don't have serial numbers and are showing up more regularly at crime scenes. 2 years ago, the president announced a new regulation requiring all parts of a firearm to have serial numbers to make them easier to track.
All of a sudden, it's no longer a ghost. It has a return address.
Lower courts struck down the regulation, but the Supreme Court allowed it to stay in effect during the legal fight. The arguments won't happen before the fall. Sagar Magani, Washington.
America in the Morning for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour, opening arguments, one witness, and an early end to Donald Trump's trial.
More arrests and continued fallout surrounding pro-Palestinian demonstrations on Ivy League campuses. I'm Clayton Neville.
The federal government for the first time is setting standards for the number of hours of care each patient must receive. I'm Jackie Quinn.
California's governor says he has a plan that would allow Arizona doctors to perform abortions there. I'm Pamela Furrer.
Playoff excitement from the hardwood to the rink. I'm Robert Workman.
The 2024 inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been named. I'm Kevin Carr.
And Maui wildfire relief donations exceed expectations. We're back after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning with an update on where we might see some thunderstorm activity today. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
A few scattered late-day thunderstorms will develop in parts of northern Texas into Oklahoma. These storms have the potential to produce very strong winds as well as some hail. And then these will continue into the evening, but they should be less potent. And we have another storm moving through the Great Lakes, and that will continue to spread showers and thunderstorms through the region with a steady rain developing along a slow-moving cold front to the south. Showers will start the day in North Dakota and northern Minnesota, with additional showers moving through Michigan. And then more showers and thunderstorms will develop, along with some thunderstorms this afternoon in northern Wisconsin and northern Michigan. A few of those storms that form could contain some gusty winds and small hail. This will shift southward through the rest of Wisconsin and Michigan this evening, and then even into northern Illinois and Indiana. There will be some colder air building southward, and this could lead to some snow later in the day in parts of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and some places could even see a slushy accumulation. The steady rain farther south will spread from Missouri eastward through central Illinois into Indiana and Ohio, and then this will move into New York and Pennsylvania tonight with showers through the Tennessee Valley northward to New England. The rest of the Plain States will be fairly quiet with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. We'll have afternoon temperatures near the historical average from the 50s, 60s, and even low 70s in the north and 70s and 80s in the south, though it will be about 10 to 15 degrees above average in parts of West Texas into New Mexico, where highs will be well into the 90s. The southeast will remain dry with plenty of sunshine and highs largely in the 70s. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
You can follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. I'm John Trout. It was expected to be a short day for the Donald Trump hush money trial in New York City, with plans to end early for Passover and also because one of the jurors had a dental emergency. As correspondent Julie Walker reports, after opening arguments, the first witness took the stand, and after the proceedings, the former president held court outside the courthouse.
This is a witch hunt, and it's a shame, and it comes out of Washington. It's in coordination with Washington, everything, including the DA's office. It's in coordination with Washington.
The prosecution began with opening statements in Donald Trump's hush money trial, saying he orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election. Then it was the defense's turn, with Trump's lawyer telling jurors, spoiler alert, there's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy. Trump is charged with falsifying business records to cover up stories about his sex life during the 2016 campaign, which he denies.
I get indicted. I'm the leading candidate. I'm beating Biden. I'm beating the Republicans now. I have the nomination. And this is what they try to take me off the trail for. That checks being paid to a lawyer. He is a lawyer, or was a lawyer.
After court, Trump said the day went well, but it's an unfair case.
They take this payment and they call it a legal expense. And you heard it today for the first time. This is what I got indicted over. This is what took me off and takes me off the campaign trail, because I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. I should be in a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here. And this will go on for a long time. It's very unfair.
The trial ended Monday with David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, starting his testimony on the witness stand. He's back Tuesday. At court in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
What began growing at Columbia University has now spread to a number of college campuses across the nation, with pro-Palestinian demonstrators pitching tents on campuses, vowing to stay there until universities divest from Israel. But they're also spreading fear and, in some cases, violence against Jewish students. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports the protests grow, and so are the number of arrests at prestigious Ivy League campuses.
Nearly 50 people were arrested Monday at Yale for misdemeanor trespass. Dozens gathered outside NYU as hundreds are still camped out in public areas at Yale in Connecticut and at Columbia University in New York. NYPD Deputy Commissioner Tariq Shepard says that officers are closely watching what's happening on campus.
Our biggest concern is just to make sure that people remain safe in this area, but it's not a concern of ours in terms of our ability to respond.
Columbia administrators switched students to online learning yesterday out of precaution as reports of Jewish students being harassed and taunted become more common. President Biden on the demonstrations.
I condemn anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul met with police and administrators at Columbia.
My number one job is to keep people of the state safe. And right now, there are many students not feeling safe on campus. So we talked about the strategies, how the state can be supportive, but to make sure we do two things: protect public safety and security, and of course, state human rights laws, but also protect people's right to peacefully assemble and to have freedom of speech.
Harvard has closed Harvard Yard on campus to prevent any massive encampments from being formed, and fallout at other Ivy League schools grows. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft has called for the protest to end right away and ripped leaders at Columbia, where he went to school. He said he won't support that university until the issue is resolved, and insisted that the Kraft Center on campus will serve as a secure place for Jewish students. Meanwhile, American Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's daughter is now speaking out after she was suspended from Barnard College over protests. She says she was left homeless and hungry after her dining hall and dormitory key card didn't work after she was suspended. I'm Clayton Neville.
The Biden administration is issuing new rules on nursing home staffing and home health care pay. Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports that Vice President Kamala Harris made the announcement in the battleground state of Wisconsin.
The safety, the dignity, the guarantee of self-determination that comes with the work that home health care workers and care workers do. Today is about recognizing the gift that home health care workers and care workers give to us as a society.
At a gathering with nursing home and home health care workers in Wisconsin, Vice President Kamala Harris announces
national minimum staffing standards for federally funded nursing homes.
The current law only requires nursing homes have sufficient staffing, leaving it up to the states. But now federal rules say they must have the equivalent of 3.48 hours per resident per day, and a registered nurse must be accessible. Vice President Harris on conditions for patients at understaffed facilities.
There may be no one available to help them out of bed. It means there may be no one available when they fall.
The administration's also requiring home health care agencies pay workers 80% of what they collect from Medicare. Advocates for the elderly have been seeking new standards, but the nursing home industry is sure to push back. I'm Jackie Quinn.
When we return on America in the Morning, California governor's new abortion invitation, Biden's cannibal remarks continue to reverberate. We'll have that and more when America in the Morning continues after these messages. Back with you now on America in the Morning, I'm John Trout. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he has a plan to help women in Arizona get abortions, if they so choose. Pamela Furr has details.
Newsom announced the proposal on MSNBC's Inside with Jen Psaki after the Arizona Supreme Court ruled this month that a near-total abortion ban from 1864 can take effect in the coming weeks.
Right now, a big part of my focus and why I'm so focused on Arizona and providing doctors from Arizona the ability to come into California through emergency legislation we'll introduce with our Women's Caucus this week is to address the crisis at hand with that law that will go into effect on May 1st. To provide access to women and girls that are fleeing the state of Arizona.
Now, the emergency legislation would expedite the licenses of Arizona abortion providers, allowing them to treat their patients in California. The governor says the demand for abortions has climbed 17% in his state since Roe versus Wade was rolled back. He also says he's proud California has made itself a safe haven for those seeking abortion care. I'm Pamela Furr.
The future of the app TikTok in the United States will be debated in the Senate today, where bills for Ukraine and Israeli aid will soon be voted on as well. The House passed those bills along with a ban on the popular social media app owned by a company based in China with ties to the Chinese government. Congress has been working on a TikTok ban to counter allegations that its owner, ByteDance, allegedly provides the communist Chinese government full access to user data. If passed by the Senate, the bill would force its Chinese parent company to sell the app to American interests, and if that sale doesn't occur within a year, TikTok would be banned in the U.S. President Biden said he would sign the bill if it reaches his desk. A Confederate flag-waving Capitol rioter learned his fate in court, receiving a much lighter-than-recommended sentence. Ed Donahue reports.
Israel Easter Day was 19 at the time. Prosecutors say he pepper-sprayed two police officers in the face, partially blinding them for hours. The judge cited Easter Day's youth for handing down a prison term over five times lower than the Justice Department's initial sentencing recommendation, 11 years, saying he was homeschooled and may not have fully appreciated what was going on at the Capitol or recognized that the Confederate flag is a symbol of rebellion. Easter Day tearfully apologized and said he is deeply ashamed of himself. A video shows Easter Day smirking just before he pepper sprayed one of the officers. Ed Donahue, Washington.
A U.S. ally is unhappy after a remark last week by President Biden regarding a family member and cannibals, Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
At a Pennsylvania war memorial, the president talked about his uncle, Second Lieutenant Ambrose Finnegan Jr., whom he says was shot down over Papua New Guinea during World War II.
They never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Prime Minister Joseph Marape says while that may have been a slip of the tongue, he's accusing the president of disparaging his nation by appearing to imply cannibals ate Finnegan. Biden spoke Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre said last week the president was simply honoring the bravery of troops who died defending America, including Finnegan.
And that should matter.
Military records also don't support the president's account that Finnegan's plane was shot down. The Pentagon says it crashed in the ocean after both engines failed. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Big tech stocks are often an indicator of the economy, but the Big Six are expecting to report slower sales by 2025. Here's Chuck Palm with that in today's Tech Report.
In a new report from USB Global Research Strategists, the Big Six tech stocks, otherwise known as Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Meta, Nvidia, and Microsoft, are expected to decline by as much as 15.5% by the first quarter of 2025. Lead strategist Jonathan Galoob said, "Our downgrade of the Big Six from overweight to neutral is not predicated on extended valuations or doubts about artificial intelligence." USB also forecast that other tech stocks are expected to perform better in the first quarter of 2025. The Big Six tech stocks are seen as a bellwether for the tech sector and for the performance of the S&P 500. They are expected to report their quarterly results over the next couple of weeks. One factor attributed with the decline of the Big Six tech stocks is the COVID rush on PCs. Once the pandemic was over, the demand subsided and the economy reopened and profits suffered due to waning demand. Leave a comment at allthetoptech.tech. I'm Chuck Palm.
We're up to sports now on America in the Morning. Here's our Robert Workman.
NBA playoffs, the Cavaliers clock the Magic 96-86 for a 2-0 series edge. Cleveland has not trailed for even a second so far in that series. The Knicks were down 5 with 30 seconds to play, but got trays from Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo to stun the Sixers and take a 2-0 lead for Coach Tom Thibodeau.
And that's how quick it can change. You know, and you need good fortune. Sometimes the ball bounces your way.
Out west, the Nuggets erased a 20-point deficit and tipped the Lakers on Jamal Murray's corner jumper as time ran out. Stanley Cup playoffs in the East, the Hurricanes wiped out a 3-0 deficit with 5 unanswered goals as they blew by the Islanders for a 2-0 lead. Sebastian Aho and Jordan Martinook scored the tying and go-ahead goals 9 seconds apart in period 3.
You get a whole juice that hits you and then get in on a forecheck and luckily be able to pick them and make that play.
Auston Matthews got the decider as the Maple Leafs shaded the Bruins. That series even at 1-1. Out west, 2 series openers. Zach Hyman's hat trick led the way as the Oilers drilled the Kings. Connor McDavid had 5 assists, and the defending champion Golden Knights got by the top-seeded Stars. Baseball, the Phillies blanked the Reds 7-0. Ranger Suarez extended his scoreless inning streak to 25. Cody Clemens, son of Roger, went deep as he filled in for Bryce Harper, who went on the paternity list. A's shut out the Yankees. Zach Geloff's homer in the ninth, the only scoring play of the day. Twins whitewashed the White Sox behind Chris Paddock and Ronnie Henriquez. Braves shut down the Marlins, Bryce Elder and the Statesman with an 8-hitter, while Travis d'Arnaud went deep for the 5th time since Friday. Nolan Gorman snapped out of an 0-for-19 slump with a walk-off 2-run tater, lifting the Cardinals over the Diamondbacks. Pirates down the Brewers to snap a 6-game skid. Wins for the Giants, Orioles, Blue Jays, Tigers, and Padres. That's Tuesday Sports.
When we return on America in the Morning, Ozzy Osbourne, Cher, Peter Frampton, and Kool & the Gang. After these messages. America in the Morning continues. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced its 2024 inductees. Kevin Carr sees who made the list.
Mary J. Blige is one of the three that made their mark in the 1990s. Sweet like the Dave Matthews Band also made the list. Yes, and the Tribe Called Quest was honored as well.
Some inductees have been major influences since the 1970s. Kool and the Gang are celebrating. I wanna know what love is. The British-American rock band Foreigner was on the list. Show me the way. Peter Frampton came alive as an inductee. And let's not forget hard rock legend Ozzy Osbourne for his solo career. Do you believe in life after love? Rounding out the class is an artist whose career goes back to the 1960s. It's not too late for Cher to make it to the Hall of Fame in spite of her criticizing the organization last year. Alex Korner, John Mayall, and Big Mama Thornton were given the Musical Influence Award, while four artists were honored with the Award of Musical Excellence. These included legendary singer Dionne Warwick, punk influencers MC5, and producer-songwriter Norman Whitfield also received the honor, it's those changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes, along with Jimmy Buffett, who passed away in September. The 2024 induction ceremony will take place on October 19th in Cleveland. I'm Kevin Carr.
A high-speed train that would travel through the desert between two major West Coast cities is now in the construction phase. Correspondent Haya Panjwani reports.
A $12 billion high-speed passenger rail line between the two cities has started construction. Brightline West is the company that's aiming to lay 218 miles of new track between Las Vegas and another new facility in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Almost the full distance is to be built in the median of Interstate 15, with a station stop in San Bernardino County's Victorville area. Brightline received about $6.5 billion in backing from the Biden administration, including a $3 billion grant from federal infrastructure funds and approval to sell another $2.5 billion in tax-exempt bonds. It aims to be open to ticket holders by 2028, ideally in time for the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. I'm Haya Panjwani.
A report on donations that were given to the victims of the Maui wildfires show that Oprah Winfrey and Dwayne Johnson made large contributions, but also gave far more money than they said they would. Correspondent Norman Hall reports.
The Entertainment Industry Foundation, a nonprofit that helps celebrities administer charitable work, says it has raised and distributed almost $60 million to Maui wildfire survivors. The foundation won't be specific, but a list of smaller contributors reveals most of the money was donated by Oprah Winfrey and actor Dwayne Johnson. Both have ties to Maui and had pledged $10 million. At the time, the amount was met with some criticism, given Winfrey's wealth and extensive estate in Maui. The $60 million donated was dispersed between September and February to some 8,100 adults, a significant portion of the 12,000 people the state of Hawaii estimates were displaced. I'm Norman Hall.
America in the Morning for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay, senior producer Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.